scared or not, try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. You take this job and shut. I ain't working here no more.
You Can't Make It Up, show number 225 for November 26th. And you know the year, so we'll just leave that out.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Ken.
Your pants any tighter on you this morning?
No, they're not. I stopped eating at about 3 p.m., I think, on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. How about yourself?
Well, I wore the kind of elastic type waistbands.
Yeah, okay. The old man pants. You know, it's segueing nicely into all the years we spent in radio together and separately.
Take this job and shove. I ain't working here no more.
Have you ever worked with anyone? Did you ever work with anyone who upped and quit on the air?
I'm trying to think. As many times as I wanted to do it, I never did. But I've had people walk out, but not necessarily saying so. They just left in mid-show.
Here in Maine, up in Bangor this past week, a couple of anchors, Cindy Michaels and Tony Consiglio at ABC 7 in Bangor, closed out their 6 p.m. newscast this way.
And finally tonight, this will be Tony and my final show together here on ABC 7. The last 6 years have been an interesting and enjoyable time for both of us as we have been the longest running news team in Bangor.
And on behalf of Cindy and me, we have loved every moment bringing the news to you and coming into the homes with your stories of the community and the state. And some recent developments have come to our attention, though, and departing together is the best alternative we can take.
You are a wonderful community, Bangor, and we are very sad at having to say goodbye for now, but we'll still be around. I'm going to pursue a freelance writing career and concentrate on a novel I'm writing and some painting, but we'll be around.
Yeah, and I will be continuing on my career in another capacity.
Yeah, at the unemployment office.
I was going to say, that's code word for I don't have a job.
Yeah. You want to close it out, guys?
We have designed a new set for you, which is coming in December. Unfortunately, we won't be here to sit on it.
You'll be sitting on it. I'm sure management's going to ask you to sit on it any time now.
I really wanted to see it. But to all of the reporters and production crew, we wish you good luck. And to all of you, good night.
Good night.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. That would be one way to commit career suicide.
You know, first rule of quitting, have something lined up first.
Yeah. Now, apparently not everybody was shocked. They didn't tell any of the staff members and viewers, of course, until they sprung it on them. But the GM, vice president of ABC 7 in Bangor, Mike Palmer, said it was unfortunate but not unexpected. And then he said, quote, we'll hire experienced people to fill these positions sooner rather than later.
Ooh.
Palmer also told the Bangor Daily News that his ABC affiliate had been preparing to replace Consiglio at the anchor desk. Quote, Tony's job was offered to someone else on Monday.
If I was in your shoes, I'd be
leaving. What a good idea.
This little event they did was Tuesday night. Cindy knew this and decided she couldn't continue working without him, said the former boss. Now, here's the part that just confounds me. You know, and I know, having been in the biz for a long, long time, what they did to their futures with this maneuver, this little shenanigan. You don't, it's so god darn unprofessional, it's not funny. You just, can I take a time out a second? You know, and I know, listeners don't give a damn about your life. It isn't about you. So shut up and do the news. All right, that's the end of my rant. Now, when asked if their departure had anything to do with salary issues, Palmer said, no, actually, Cindy was offered a contract extension the last few days. We were replacing her co-host. Yeah. So we're going to cut to the chase here. She said that it was saddening to hear that some friends and strangers and family had called her and said, you know, you just ended your career. You just ruined it. She said, that's very saddening to hear because journalism and broadcasting is very important to me. She had no idea. Cindy Michaels had no idea when she said, hey, we're out of here. I got some stuff going on. We can't take it. I quit.
Yes. Well, you know, the GM sounds like a real winner, too.
Well, but you and I, it's like everyone we've ever worked for.
It is. All rolled into one.
Yes.
Except for big guy, KRP. He was good.
Yeah, well, then, but you had Jennifer at the desk. It made working there infinitely nicer.
You're watching Channel 4 News with 5-time Emmy Award-winning anchor Ron Burgundy and Titz McGee.
Good evening, San Diego. I'm Veronica Corningstone. Tits McGee is on vacation.
Yesterday I decided, tonight I'll see it through. After today, I won't get caught. I will get over the years that I lost. After today, I will move on.
They call themselves Hiding in Public from that long lineage of British pop rockers. Jury's out on whether they'll be up there with the Stones and the Animals and the Beatles. They remember them. This tune's entitled After Today. We're going to be doing other things.
Fine. I thought Hiding in the Public is what we do.
Yeah, we do. This band, by the way, has been compared to Dire Straits, John Hiatt, and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Huh? Hiding in Public. We'll put a link out there to these boys from London and their music. This is You Can't Make It Up, the show that, well, we do it every week because there's so much stupidity to go around out there. We feel like sharing it with you because, you know, that's the kind of guys we are.
Yep, and we have to dole it out like sides at a Thanksgiving Day dinner.
Email us if you really must. Feedback at the2kenscomedy.com. And here we are a few weeks since Election Day almost, and the dust is still settling in some places, isn't it?
Yeah, I have what I like to call some leftovers from Election Day. And why not? After Thanksgiving has come and gone, what's more of a tradition than dining off of leftovers for a week or so, right? Mm. So I have some news on a couple of election races that sort of the ultimate good news, bad news deals for the winners and just plain bad, bad news for the losers. And I think the best way to put this into context is through the old joke, and you may have heard it, but about this avid golfer named Tom. And he's in church and he kneels and whispers his prayer. He says, "Lord, thank you for my health, my wife, and the game of golf. I only hope that when I reach heaven, if I reach heaven, I can still play golf." At which point a voice comes down from the sky and says, "This is the Lord, Tom. I heard your prayer. I have good news and bad news for you." Tom said, "Well, what's the good news?" The Lord said, "The good news is in heaven we have thousands of championship golf courses. Play is never slow. It's always free. You never lose a ball."
Hmm.
And Tom said, "What's the bad news?" The Lord said, "You tee off tomorrow morning at 9.
I said, "Freeze, gopher." Oh, he got all of that one.
And don't be late.
Right. So now that's the context. So let's get back to our You Can't Make It Up election coverage. And I have a couple of them. One of them happened, of course, in Florida. Where else? Where 96-year-old Democrat Earl K. Wood was running for his 12th term as Orange County tax collector. Now, over the years, he had been roundly criticized for rarely coming into the office and showing up to work. In fact, he had actually planned to step down and not even seek re-election until he learned his longtime political rival, whom I'm guessing he didn't like a lot, was planning to run against him, so he decided to stick it out and run. Well, Mr. Wood won with 56% of the vote. His rival just got 44%. That's the good news. Bad news is Mr. Wood died in mid-October, yeah, weeks before the election.
Well, he's 96.
Yes, but at least he'll be able to continue his practice of not showing up to work.
If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve.
Imagine if you're the loser, you're losing to a dead guy. I mean,
yeah, how bad is that? Honey, I lost to a dead guy.
You can't beat a dead guy. You know. Well, in a similar story, over in Central Alabama, yeehaw. A Republican candidate named Charles Beasley was running to reclaim his seat on the Bibb County Commission. Now, he also died weeks before the election, but his name remained on the ballot, and the voters reelected him to commission, giving him 52% of the vote. Well, actually, I technically didn't reelect him because he had been off the commission, and then he wanted to get back on. All right.
But did he want to get back on after he died? Is that it?
Well, we don't know that, but the loser's guy's name is Walter Sansing. And to add insult to defeat, Mr. Sansing, who lost to the dead guy, he was the incumbent. This was his excuse. He said, "You know what's touchy when you run against a dead guy?
Yeah.
You're limited in what you can say."
Yeah. Yeah. And nothing you say affects him, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, your opponent's dead. Say whatever
still
you want.
Still dead.
F you, yeah. WTF. There you have it. That's the last of our election coverage for this year.
Well, we have a news update from last week.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, the wacky, crazy, anti-oak tree lady up in Canada.
Yes.
Yeah, well, as we told you last week, she wanted to do away with all the oak trees because she said the acorns posed an allergy threat to kids and her kid. And well, last week she said, "No mas, I quit, I'm out of here." She said she's giving up her fight to make acorns disappear from local school grounds because now this is her claim, she has faced undue extreme ridicule that just rained down on her last week.
What a surprise.
Yeah, I don't think she heard our show, but you know, Donna Guisticia is her name. Donna may or may not have heard. In a letter she sent to city staff counselors last week, Mrs. Guisticia says she's endured cyberbullying and hateful letters since she made the request to the city this month. Quote, on a personal level, the cyberbullying and hate-filled sentiments my family and I have had to endure because of my simply acting in a voluntary capacity, making a friendly request to my city council on behalf of small children is ridiculous. No, your request was ridiculous, ma'am. In a free, civilized society, she goes on to say, we should be able to voice our opinions and make our requests to elected officials without fear of reprisal, ridicule, or regret.
Well, two out of three.
Yeah. Thank you, Meatloaf. Now, here's what else she added. This is the first time any of us have heard this. She said, I only went to lawmakers to learn whether the trees could be safely moved, transplanted away from the playground area. Donna, time out. You may be able to get away with that crap up near Toronto in the newspapers. Time out. We tell the truth here, and it's time you started doing it. You said you wanted the trees killed. You said you wanted them dug up and taken away. These are 100-year-old oak trees. Where are you going to transplant them? How are you going to get them there, you idiot?
Well, two things occur to me about that. Number one, if this had happened in Bangor, that crack TV news team would have been all over that story, right?
Yeah, if it happened before they quit.
And the other thing is her name, Donna Squid. Was it Donna?
Guisticia. I don't know.
Donna Guisticia. Sounds like a digestive disorder.
Gesundheit. Listen, it is the last show of the month, and that means, what do we do every last show of each month?
Fun with English.
Yes, otherwise known as, now that they've fired all the copy editors and proofreaders, this is what's left of the language. Finding the right words can be a problem. The British recruitment firm, Badenoch & Clark, are advertising a vacancy on their website as follows.
I like the name.
Yeah, Badenoch & Clark. There's a vacancy in that firm, and here's their ad. Our client is seeking a project officer to join their thieving housing and regeneration team.
Yeah, rip on.
In North London. I think they meant thriving.
I like thieving better.
A sentence from the newsletter of a hair salon in Auckland, New Zealand, advertising its new private room, says it is, quote, ideal for the disconcerting professional who wants to work while having their hair done. The Albuquerque Journal in New Mexico reviewed a Chinese restaurant this month, saying, quote, Chin San can serve indecisive families for dinner, offering group meals with...
A Chinese restaurant in Albuquerque.
Yes. Can we have that with hot sauce?
Yeah.
A restaurant menu in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada offers tenderloin.
Tenderloin?
Yeah. Careful. It'll bite you. An article in the November 9th issue of Time magazine about the causes of the decline of the Mayan civilization contained this sentence, quote, there was also a lot of warfare in that period, which makes sense for a culture fighting over swindling resources.
That's up there with that thieving...
Yeah, that would do it, wouldn't it? This blurb spotted on Amazon about the Kiso diet, quote, reading this book will give you the knowledge you need to guard against cancer, joint degeneration, heart disease, and brain health. And Pippa made the news again. Pippa Middleton. Yeah, Kate's sister. The November 20th edition of the London Daily Telegraph reported on the new Celebrate how-to book for well-heeled party throwers by Pippa Middleton. Here's the quote. She, Pippa, has been in twice now to sign books, and it appeals very well to our customers. They have flown off the shelves.
Look out, there goes another one. Everybody duck.
Oh, the carnage.
Oh, the humanity.
Copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. The third. There's no parachutes yet. Those happy skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but... Oh, my God, they're talking! Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car! Johnny, this is terrible! The cars running around pushing each other? Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity!
The Rubicon, a restaurant in Griffith, Australia, posts menus for its lunchtime and evening banquets on its website. The restaurant insists that, quote, banquets must be pre-booked, minimum 8 parsons. And with 9, you get cakeage. An offer in a furniture store ad for Hammonds in Tunbridge Wells, in bloody old UK, seems a bit odd. It reads, I'm giving away a free Wittert hot chocolate and mug set to every customer worth $10.
You're just worth 10 bucks, you.
A BBC News report on the conviction of the Pope's butler included this marvelously crafted sentence. Vatican City has a railway station with only one train a week, bringing in bonded duty-free goods, comma, a post office, a radio station, a pharmacy, a supermarket, a fire brigade, a five-star hotel, and one of the world's most visited museums.
Yeah, all in one train.
All in the dining car, I think. Oh, and who says realtors are heartless, huh? This from a promotional flyer for a Ballarat real estate agent, quote, every home we sell, we donate to breast cancer research.
Buyer beware.
Yeah, you and your family do not get to move in. And finally, from the Land Down Under, this appeared in the November 1st edition of the Business Spectator in Australia. Filippo and Maria had emigrated to Australia from Sicily in the 1950s and settled in Griffiths, where they eventually bought 50 acres and planted grapes, peaches, and prunes, as well as 4 children.
And there they are. Mom, Dad.
Right next to the oak trees. We want to thank, as always...
No, we don't.
Michael Quinion in the UK for letting us rip off, borrow, mention his Worldwide Words newsletter for these little gems every month. Thank you, Michael. We hope you someday get to hear our plagiarizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, can I just add one item? Now, this isn't technically a misspelling or the wrong word, but it's sort of like badvertising.
Okay.
You mentioned realtors, why I remember that I had this. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're selling something, you put a sign out. Don't you want to promote the positive of what you're selling?
Yeah.
Well, there's a sign that someone is going to try to sell his house. You know, the owner selling the house. Hmm. House for sale by owner because my neighbor's an asshole. How does that sell?
And don't you know you want to live here too? No, where I live, I already have one. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a reason to move in here.
If you can't be with the one you hate, hate the one you're with.
Yeah. And you are old.
Well, I have you. Thank you. I have one question for you as we wrap it up this morning. Did you manage to save a moment of duh for us?
Yes, I did. It's not even a leftover. It's an actual moment of duh. Hasn't been consumed yet.
Are we going back to the criminal side of things?
Yes, we are. Yeah, I gave him a week off, but that's enough. And this is another item from our Dude, You're Doing It Wrong department.
Thus, turning to a life of crime.
And it also qualifies as our tip of the week. And here it is. Now, first, of course, our standard disclaimer. Say it with me. Not that we condone this sort of activity, but...
You're the one that says that. I condone the heck out of it.
We're just trying to protect ourselves here. So the tip is when you rob a convenience store and grab the money, don't give it back. That's my tip.
Who would do that?
Well, you want to find out? Listen on.
Okay.
And for this, we go to Madison, Wisconsin. Yes, finally, we get Wisconsin back into the mix here. Now, this incident involved a heads-up and, dare I say, courageous convenience store clerk and two would-be robbers who I could best describe as both cowardly and stupid. Now, there's a combination. The clerk works at a store called the Open Pantry, again, over in Madison. She's there behind the counter, and she's actually sort of taking inventory and counting the cash, too, and all that stuff. And these two guys come into the store while the clerk is counting the cash, and one of the robbers asks the clerk for directions, so in an attempt to kind of distract the clerk while his accomplice grabs the cash. However, our intrepid store clerk saw that the money was now missing and also saw that these two bozos, first of all, didn't brandish a gun or even try to fake having a gun.
You don't need that in Wisconsin. 12-year-olds carry guns. Listen,
so she stood up and she demanded that the man give the money back. At the same time, she called the cops. Now, the robber didn't give the money back at first. But then the clerk demanded again, sternly, give me the money back. And he gave the money back.
Wait, did she have a gun?
No. She just demanded sternly. Her tone of voice is all it took.
Yeah.
Because apparently the stunned idiot of a robber reached into his pocket, threw the wad of bills back on the counter, and he ran out of the store. Well,
probably had a mommy complex.
They got away. But the joke was on them. Because then the clerk recounted the cash, and she found she made a couple of bucks.
They actually gave back more than they took.
Back some of their
own money. Morons. Welcome to Wisconsin.
Dude, you're doing it wrong.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet!
What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet!
But on the good side of things,
yeah.
When they do get out.
Isn't the idea of robbing that you walk away with more than you
I think
in?
So, but now they can stay there because they've qualified. They meet the state requirements for IQ.
Madison, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's going to do it. Not a moment too soon for show number 225. 225 of these we've done?
Yeah, you really, I don't know. It's a dubious achievement too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. We're going to thank you right now for donating. We're going to assume you made a donation to Voices United for Veterans. They are our favorite charity, and they help homeless veterans reclaim their dignity and their lives. If you have not yet helped our heroes, please donate today at VoicesUnitedForVets.org. One in four homeless here in America served in the military, and most recently Afghanistan and Iraq. One in four homeless served our country. By the way, here's an important phone number, confidential help for veterans and their families, 1-800-273-8255. It is the nationwide Veterans Crisis Line, operates 24/7, absolutely confidential. 800-273-8255. And on our way out, new music from those British pop rockers emulating us, Hiding in Public. This tune is called Inner Anarchist. Say that three times fast.
Try it again.
Inner Anarchist.
Very nice.
See you next week, I think. It'll be December, so maybe not.
Well, there's always that problem.
Now they're closing down production. They're gonna ship it overseas.
You Can't Make It Up is a Penguin Pods production. Look for us at 2cancomedy.com.
Well, they tell me that there's a recession, that we all have to share the pain. But the rich won't pay their taxes. It's the same old greedy game. 'Cause unemployment's high. They pay minimum wage. The state takes it back. And then they give it away. In troubled times, romantics reminisce. Won't you lend me a dime to call my inner anarchist? The funds were taken away to build a shiny football stadium next to a crumbling state highway. I got a vote to voice my opinion, but everyone promises change until they take from the corporate masters in the back rooms of free trade. Unemployment's high. They pay minimum wage. The state takes it back.